Hi, I'm Tam.
And I'm eternally mortal.
And this is the Hidden Ed Pod, the Hidden Egg Podcast, where we talk about vulnerability and I get used to having a tongue.
And stuff and things. I should have messed those words up to like solidarity with you. But
no, it's totally fine.
It didn't occur to me in the moment.
I'm not taking that out either, by the way.
No, hell yeah, leave it in. Like, this is supposed to be scuffed. It's intended to be scuffed. Let's scuff it up.
So our first order of business is going to be this article from Ryan. Now, I asked him if we could talk about this.
Hang on. Welcome to season 4, everybody. Okay, that's enough. That's all I needed to say. All
right. Yeah, okay.
So you asked him if we can talk about this, right?
Yeah, and to be honest, I wasn't 100% clear on whether or not it was okay, but he didn't say no. So,
well, maybe we should skip it just in case, because like I think a clear yes is really kind of a necessity, isn't it?
Well, he was talking about it during our writing group, because I have a writing group that I am a part of before we do these recordings, and it sounded like he was trying to give me additional information so that I could talk about it better. I don't know.
Yeah, we're probably fine. I'm being silly.
Yeah, I feel like we're okay.
Okay.
But he wrote this article, "We Need a Union for Everyone. Let's Take a Bathroom Break on the Warehouse Floor." And I thought that it was amazing. I mean, I think a lot of articles are amazing, but this one I thought was particularly vulnerability-esque.
Yeah. It really struck me as like, you know, fighting the class war, like fighting it, you know, like really getting out the pitchfork and being like, you know, the tiny number of fuckers that own us are assholes.
Well, during the writing thing, the writing group, he was kind of talking about how he meant for this article to kind of be about how the media is like trying to shape our lives and get in between every two people to be the facilitator of interactions, but it's like dividing us further and further apart. And so his thing, like kind of at the end, he was all just go outside and talk to your neighbor, like go knock on their door and just shake their hand.
Right.
And I really liked that. I really like, I know that there are some points in the article I don't necessarily agree with fully, or there are some things that I'm like, well, that might be a little far, but the premise of it, I agree with. The idea that we're kind of controlled by the media into being distant from each other.
Right. Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can understand that. There's a lot of... And I remember him... I'm sorry, the author referring to, you know, the media giants, the ones that own the Facebook and the Twitter and the other one.
Right. I don't want to scroll down too far on it. I don't know if you're looking at the screen.
Oh, I forgot about the screen.
Yeah, I don't want to scroll down too far on it because it is, I believe, a members-only article. Oh, maybe it's not. Oh, it's not. This is just for everybody. Okay, well, never mind. I'll just scroll down. I thought it was a members-only article, and I didn't want to ruin that. But if it's not, then I can go a little bit further. Because, his whole thing is like, you know, our connection is broken. And it makes us scared. It makes us feel powerless. And that is what the media giants are trying to do. They're trying to make you scared. They're trying to make you feel powerless.
Right. And it was very powerful what they had to say about, you know, the fact that we're not actually alone. Because, like, searching for community is, like, one of the most human things that I'm aware of, to be honest. And you can find the search and the call and the desire and the comfort in community. I don't mean the show, I mean the concept. in every facet of life, in every single religion on the planet, in every political ideology, in every philosophical circle. I genuinely and truly believe that the reason that Flat Earth Society exists is because they feel like they have a community there. They like the people.
You know, we were
So
also talking about the whole Trump thing. I think that's the same thing. They
I
feel
agree.
alone and they feel powerless. And so when they band together under whatever tenuous concepts and values they want to bind together with, they feel like they're powerful again. And it's like an addiction. Actually, that was another thing that Ryan was talking about in the thing was like it's like they're addicted to being in the group of Trump.
Right, exactly. And this article here is trying to tell people that feel alone, that feel like they don't have anybody around them, just go and talk to the people around you. There's certainly a possibility that some of them are going to be assholes. I get that. But even some assholes have redeeming qualities. I've been friends with many assholes, truly. And like, sure, I don't want to like promote their toxicity in certain regards, but I've also been able to find a sense of camaraderie with people of all. I mean, none of us are perfect, right? Who's my favorite
I don't know what you're talking about. I am perfect. No, I'm kidding.
asshole? Actually, I think my favorite asshole is Tam, if I'm being honest.
Thanks. Am I an asshole? I guess
You
I
can
am
be.
sometimes,
You
yeah.
can be, but it's okay. I still love you dearly.
I don't know. I don't
And
know. I feel like I'd be tied with Ghost.
oh,
He's he's quite an asshole himself sometimes.
right, and so like if you go out and you talk to the people in your community, you can find people and you don't have to feel so alone. You don't have to shout on Twitter things that you don't know but you feel deeply if you can find some people around you. But I also don't think that it takes into account that there's a lot of people that are really gonna there's a lot of people that still struggle horribly with like agoraphobia and the fear and social anxiety and introversion. Not that that's a disease or a negative thing. Introversion is just a potential part of who we are. But like it's not I don't think it's all inclusive, the article. Does that make sense? Is that an ask to say?
I will say that I have some of those things that you're talking about. The slight bit of agoraphobia hasn't completely subsided for me, and so I have a lot of anxiety about going out into the public. And I do rely on the internet and the connectivity that is available there to sort of help me reacclimate and fill in the spaces of need, because we all need to have social interactions, whether we feel comfortable doing it or not, is another story. And I do feel that there's sort of a lapse in the media where they know that. They know that there are people like me out there and they use that against us. I feel like that's what, Facebook, Twitter, the social media ones, like that's what they're capitalizing on, is that you don't want to go out into actual public and shake somebody's hand because there's anxiety there. So let me help you facilitate that. But then they have these algorithms that only feed you what they think is most popular, what has been most popular because it's going to sell more ads or whatever.
Yeah. And most algorithms do generally lead people into an echo chamber.
What is Social Dilemma? Is that a show? By the way, I do see you, Sturge. I just don't know how to respond to you. Mandatory watch. Okay, so it's a show. Yeah, I guess I'll have to
A
watch that.
documentary? Yeah. We'll
Yeah.
have to check that one out.
But no,
Sounds
I haven't seen
interesting.
it.
Like, how
But
short are we talking?
oh, it's about Facebook.
Oh, is it about Zuck?
Interesting.
Or is it just about Facebook?
It would have to be just about Facebook. Zuckerberg doesn't even own Facebook anymore.
I was just curious because, like, I would love to see, like, the operations manual for how to put together your own Zuckerberg. That would be interesting.
I think that's a different story entirely.
You think so? I think that's one of the episodes of Black Mirror, if I'm being honest.
Hey, there's a link. All right. Well, I'll make sure I put that in the article for this episode too. I haven't watched it, but then it'll give us a place for it to rest while we get around to watching it.
Do you want to get back to the article?
Yeah, well, I was actually going to say, do you want to maybe move on to the next article?
We can. I do want to put out one more thing. I really
Okay.
thought that it was very impactful that the author put the "You're not alone, you're not alone," and then say it out loud. I'm not alone, because
Right.
actually saying out loud words that is such a powerful thing. When you hear your own voice saying something, it matters. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so when you say out loud, "I'm not alone," it does bring you a little bit, just a little bit of a good feeling. And so I'm really glad that, really glad that it was put there. That's great.
Yes, Sturge, I'm actually never alone. I am constantly around some, like there's always somebody in our house. So,
Yeah.
but there's times when everybody's asleep and I'm not, and so I'll be like, "Yay, I'm kind of alone." But that's a different thing.
Until we get a new cat.
Yeah, I'm did you ever, well, I'll ask about that stuff later. Never mind. Sorry.
Okay.
Moving on.
Moving on.
Moving on.
Second article.
Second article. So now we're gonna go to abuse stuff. And
Yes.
so first off, this is my Abuse Road publication. There's not, it's super new. I'm trying to get it off the ground, but it's gonna be a slow start. Wink, wink. I see you there, Sturgy. Anyway. So this was the first article that I wrote, and it was after a night where me and Kai, my child, we had watched an R slash video, and I really like R slash videos. And I was like, you know, I don't have to do a video. Like, I've been thinking about doing stuff like this for a while. And I was like, I could just write it. What am I doing? Why do I need to wait for a video? I could just write an article about it. And so I did. So I wrote an article about one story that I found on Reddit that here it is that
Yeah.
I was like, I'm gonna break down what is going on here.
Do you want me to read it? I don't know if I should. I don't know if that's
Sure.
too like plagiary, but
No, I mean
I
that's what
think
R
I'm gonna.
slash does, and then he reacts to it. So yeah, go
Okay,
ahead.
I'm gonna read the whole thing then.
Okay.
I want to start off by saying that I found out that my wife posted to this sub and she will no longer speak to me, so I'm here to try and get her to talk to me. I cheated on my wife when she was pregnant twice, and then I did it again stupidly after she gave birth to our son. I was stressed and the coworker was there. We got to talking about life and how hard her divorce was. She's been lonely. I was feeling lonely. My wife was bedridden, and I needed someone to talk to you because my wife was always asleep. Probably just needed someone to talk to.
Yeah.
She just wasn't feeling well enough to act like a wife. What a dick. Okay, my wife won't speak to me or text me whenever I try to talk about us. She just completely ignores me unless I talk about our son, and all the time she won't even text me, she communicates with me through her mother. Her mother threatened to call the police if I come by anymore, so I have no way to reach her except through phone or me making my case here, and pleaded with her to just talk to me. Like, just do a little, just one pass and reread it, buddy. Okay. Has anyone been in this situation before, and what can I do to make her forgive me? She told me that she doesn't tolerate cheaters, and I had a lapse of judgment, and I made a mistake, and I want to fix it and work on it. Steph, if you're reading this, I am so sorry, and will do whatever to get you back. I love you. I'll buy you whatever. I'll never leave the house again. Just come back home and stop the divorce. I won't sign the papers.
I won't sign the papers.
I won't sign the papers.
So, first off, gross. The whole thing, just gross.
Okay, so when I first read this, sorry, you don't mind if I just kind of spit, do you?
No, go ahead.
When I first read this, I was like, I see a lot of the dudes that I've known in life in this at like a younger age. Like, this was teenage romance in a lot of regards. Like, I am doing my thing, and this person is my girlfriend or my boyfriend or my partner, and like, my life is my life, and like, they only exist when they interact with me. Like, that was just a teenage thing from what I saw as a teenager. And it just looks like this person never really grew up. He doesn't recognize, from my perspective, he doesn't recognize that his wife is a whole separate entity with like an entire universe that lives inside of her mind that has things that she wants and desires and needs and loves that he probably doesn't have any goddamn clue about. Like, he clearly has no clue that when someone is pregnant, the chemicals are maddening. And so, like, any like actual betrayal is like three times more powerful, at least in humans.
Sorry, I was trying to find the original article. I think this particular article was taken down. Like, I think he deleted it or something.
Probably. If you look at the bottom left corner of this little image, if you happen to just be able to see the image, it says 0 points, 1,700 comments. Yeah, I don't imagine he left it up very long because he probably got roasted.
Today it's 0 points, 1,900 comments. So,
Yeah. So, did you have some stuff you want to say about it?
mean, I wrote a whole article about it, so obviously I do. But I didn't want to like take up the space with that because that's something people could go to read my article and find out. But I think your intuition here is pretty spot on with what I said. He's clearly a narcissist. He didn't like, 'cause just the language that he uses is so detached from her being an actual autonomous person. Help me make her change her mind. I won't sign the pa like the worst part of it is the why I won't sign the papers. It sounds so innocuous, but when you really think about it, anybody who's been in an abusive relationship, that line right there, that's a threat. That is a threat saying, I am going to make your life a living hell. Don't go through with this choice. You will regret it. I will make sure of that.
Well, I mean, also just refusing to sign those sorts of papers, if I understand the whole situation correctly, because of course, as far as I know, I've never gotten a divorce.
As far as you know.
As far as I know, you literally are just like hijacking that person's freedom. You're literally capturing them in a certain regard. They are no longer allowed to have any sort of a legal partner because you refuse to vacate the position that you no longer
Is
inhabit.
your phone on?
Yeah. Sorry, forgot. Fixing now.
I did it before the writing group, so
Hacking the database. Reversing the polarity. Okay, I'm
and
back.
I know that like it sounds like it's a romantic thing where you're like, oh, he doesn't want to let her go. That's so sweet. No, because all the other things prior to that suggest he doesn't care about her. She wasn't feeling well enough to act like a wife. So that means that you don't have to ha act like a husband ever? Because it doesn't sound like he was putting any effort into being a husband.
He may have just been saying that as a euphemism to mean actual sex. Like, she wasn't feeling capable of having sex.
Yeah, but
That
he
might
was
have been.
using that to justify him cheating on her. So
Right, exactly.
because she literally physically could not have sex with you, that means that you were allowed to get it wherever you wanted.
Right, and that's
That
ridiculous.
is
Because
ridiculous.
how would you feel like if your wife that didn't feel like having sex with you was having sex with somebody else? How would you feel? Because
Right.
you'd probably feel pretty fucking shitty. That is one of the things that pisses me off the most. I have known people in person that have been cheating daily on their significant other, and they have talked to me about how scared they are that their significant other is cheating on them. And they're people that I work with or have worked with in the past, and so I didn't want to destroy the working relationship by saying, you're a psychopath and you don't deserve a romantic partner.
Right? Like, I don't condone or condemn people for cheating. I don't. I it's a choice It's not the one I would make, but that doesn't mean that it's wrong necessarily. In the erotica groups that I've been in, there's definitely a lot of women in loveless marriages that their husbands will not touch them anymore. They just don't want sex. They're basically asexuals that are in denial, but these women, like, if they were to get out of the relationship, it would like destroy their families or whatever. I'm not gonna say that that's right or wrong. Not, I'm just putting it out there. I'm neutral on that. However, it seems to me like this was a situation where she was carrying his fucking child.
Yeah.
And that was what she was bedridden from. So she wasn't, it's not a loveless relationship. She had sex with him, got pregnant, and then was bedridden because of said pregnancy. Like, you did this to her. And that somehow justifies the cheating. What?
Right.
The logic here.
It's ridiculous. And I,
Mortal admits to associating with cheaters, rephrasing it loosely. The Sturge 2024.
the thing that I, because I've been watching a lot of, react to Reddit videos too from various YouTubers and a little bit on Twitch and whatever. And like the problem that I find with it is that it's such a snapshot of an entire interaction, because these two are married.
Yeah.
Now they were married when she got pregnant, I assume, based on what this looks like. I don't know that for sure though. But it seems like madness to me that she would get pregnant and they would get married and then they would start having the sex problems and then he would immediately start cheating on her. Like it's just a very quick time frame, but sure, maybe it's possible.
It sounds
But
like
I
a
think
quick
that
time frame, even if it goes the long way and they got married, got pregnant, and then he started cheating. You
because
know?
he said he cheated twice, and then once after she gave birth, which,
Yeah,
by the
so
way,
once while she was pregnant, and then again after she gave birth.
yeah, and by the way, the once after she gave birth, you don't want to be in that relationship. The thing that boggles my mind about shit like this is that you clearly don't want to be in this relationship anymore. You don't want to be in this relationship anymore. Sure, I understand that it's difficult to get out of a relationship. Sure, I understand it can be really, really scary to think about life being alone. I get all of that. There's a bajillion books talking about that. But why does it not matter that you don't want to be in this relationship anymore? This is, if you stay in a relationship that is painful to you, especially emotionally painful to you, you wake up in hell every day, and that's where you go to
Well,
sleep
he
as
might
well.
not feel like it's emotionally painful, but he's obviously not faithful. If you can't stay faithful in the relationship, that is a sign that you don't want to be in it.
Right, exactly. Also, this whole like plea to Reddit in general and to Steph includes nothing about how and what ways he loves her.
Right? It doesn't include
Includes
anything about her.
nothing about her and who
Nothing
she
about her,
is.
except that her mom threatened to call the police, which kind of suggests that he was stalking the police. I'm just saying that doesn't happen on the first visit.
Well, there's a couple of extremes from him being incredibly, psychotic sort of stalker situation to the mom being a little overprotective also. Like there's a big range in there. I don't know what it could be
Sturge
in there.
seems to think that you just started a cult. I don't know what's happening.
That's fine. Nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah, so but I wanted to say that like it's such a snapshot and there's a lot that goes into it. Everyone is very nuanced. This is not exactly who this person is, I don't want to condemn this person to actual hell because he was a dick to his wife and maybe continues to be a dick to his wife. He got 1700 people talking to him about it, 1800 or 1900 after what you said. And I hope that that penetrated a little bit enough for him to learn something, but I don't think it did. If
It's
I'm
entirely
if I'm
possible that he might be able to come out of narcissism. It does happen. It's just really rare. So I'm not gonna hold my breath on it because, like, you can't. But I will say it, I think it is possible. Maybe. People do learn from their mistakes sometimes.
Yeah. So I hope that he did learn a bit from this mistake. He posted this, which was the wildest part, honestly. Like,
Yeah.
What a self-report,
He,
but
yeah, why, like, did you not read? He obviously didn't read over it. He just wrote it and then sent it out.
yeah.
But anyway, so that's the one, the first article. I'll link to that also somewhere in places.
In places, certainly.
It's on Abuse Road in on Medium. So you ready for the finale?
Yeah, in the interim, before we start that, I'm actually going to read Sturge's last comment out
Yeah.
loud. I hope they penetrated him enough after 1900 people mortal 2024.
Well, okay, so the RD, I just call it road because RD tends to just abbreviate road. So it was it's a clever play on words where, like, you know, it's abuser and abused in the same sentence, but it's also a journey of abuse. Either way, so that's why, yeah. So technically, it's abuse road. Yay, we got it.
So, I just realized I haven't read this third one, have
No, you have not. And it's a
I?
member
Gotcha.
only story, so I'm not going to be scrolling all the way through it. I did link to it. You can read it after the podcast if you want to. But I just wanted to kind of go over some of the stuff it generally talks about. I love this picture. It's hilarious.
It's a cute picture,
And also, yes,
absolutely.
Nancy Blackman is a phenomenal author, writer, whatever you want to call her, on Medium. I've read many of her pieces. So the article is Nourishing the Soul. What stories are you telling yourself, and how do they nourish or deplete your soul? And I thought, well, after talking about the media screwing up our brains and what abuse looks like, maybe it was a good idea to think about how to nourish the soul with stories. Right? Like, that makes sense. Are you reading parts of it?
I tried. I'm trying it too fast, and so I'm not really like gathering any of it yet.
So I'm just gonna kind of overview this stuff. Like, down halfway through the article, she's like, embrace the call to adventure, explore your inner world, find meaning in everyday life. What the article seems to be about to me is accepting your hero's journey. I've heard that in so many different places where, like, the hero's journey is always happening in your life somewhere, and you can have many different hero's journeys going on at the same time where you're the center of the story, and you're, you know, maybe at the beginning, maybe you're in the middle, maybe you're at the end, whatever. And I think what she's saying here is, like, trying to kind of walk people through finding that journey. Like, look for opportunities to infuse everyday life with meaning and purpose by realizing the symbolic significance of your experiences. Oh, and she actually does say the hero on their journey. I missed that.
Okay.
And I thought
Interesting.
that was really uplifting, an uplifting note to end on, because one of the things that we often fail to do is think about where we're growing to in the sense of a story.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's really
Also,
easy to feel bogged down by all the negatives, you know?
yeah, or to be caught in a moment or
Yeah.
a single reaction, you know, because it was something that you can't forgive yourself for, you can't forgive somebody else for.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, almost, it's got to be like an enormous number of our stories that actually like it cover a portion of a person's life is really that hero's journey, circle, isn't it? Kind of.
Say that again.
I feel like I'm losing the point. Maybe I shouldn't. It seems like a lot of the stories out there have the hero's journey, right?
Right.
That's all I mean. Like the hero's journey is it a cycle or is it just a single wave?
mean, I guess you could call it a cycle. I mean, the hero's journey is a writing tool to help
Yeah.
structure a story. And when you're doing like a series, you will have multiple story arcs that go through the hero's journey. But I don't know that anybody calls it cyclic. Like, because once you get to the end, you're supposed to have gone through a transformative thing, so you don't really end up back at the beginning of the not it, it's not of the same thing. It'll be like a different arc. You know what I
Sorry.
mean?
Not a circle, a spiral. Spiral up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I don't know. I don't know, because that seems more like if it's a spiral, then you'd still have overlapping themes. So would you really say that you've learned from the journey if you're overlapping the theme again? I
Yeah,
don't know.
okay.
I don't know. I'm not sure that I agree with that, but I don't know that that's like, I think it's subject to interpretation. I think that it could be a spiral, but I don't see it as a spiral. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. I'm just kind of trying to relate it because, like, I feel like we do have a bit of the hero's journey that happens in our lives in a cyclic fashion. Like, I think that we go through a lot of different things like that. And I think that this article, not that I've read it, but, you know, the Embrace the Call to Adventure, Explore Your Inner World, and Find Meaning in Everyday Life, these are very powerful directions to help you to go to start a new thing. I don't know. I have some stuff that I want to say about this, but it hasn't really formed yet. It's just little idealets floating around in the aether around my face. So I don't know that I can really turn them into anything real yet.
These are very powerful directions. Mortal 2024, trying to find one uniform path to work. Sturge, I'm loving these little quotes in the moment.
If we were doing a Twitch stream, we would need Sturge to do our ad quotes so we could build our quotes over time. It's a whole thing that happens in Twitch streams. So, did you find anything else in this article?
What do you mean?
I was just trying to bring it back to the article. That's all.
Yeah, I haven't I probably should have looked over it again just to be sure, 'cause I feel like she goes deeper into it, but I don't want to go too far because I don't want to expose her writing, 'cause this is a Medium members only story. But I'll link to it in the in the article for the episode. That way people
Yeah.
can go read it and see for themselves what more there is to discover.
Absolutely. It looks delightful.
But I
I'll leave
definitely
it there.
feel like you know, if you're feeling bogged down by social media, or if you or someone you love is being, you know, going through an abusive relationship, finding out where you lie in the hero's journey, like, well, how this story impacts your hero's journey, I think is a good way to gain some perspective on what you want to do next.
Heck yeah. Absolutely. And I like you tying all the episode together. That's cute. I really like that a lot.
Thank you.
That's very cute. Yeah, well done. Well done. It's like you're a story writer or something.
There's something, yeah.
Or something.
Or something.
No, you're
Probably
definitely a
side reading
writer.
some erotica. Wow. I'm not that talented. I can't read and talk like this at the same time. I'm not that
No,
good.
Tam just waits for me to start talking, and like if I start going on like a tangent or I'm on a monologue, they're
Yeah, then I
like,
just tune it out.
"Yay!" Yeah. Absolutely. Although I will be honest, because this is a vulnerability podcast, there are certainly times when you start talking that I look at the article or I look at something else and I do lose the thread.
Oh yeah, I have that problem too, but
Yeah.
definitely not reading erotica. Yeah,
It's a lot easier to do that sort of thing when we're not in the same room. Remember when we were doing this in the same room? Yeah.
you know,
But,
that
you
goes
know.
back to the media thing. Being in the
That's
same room with
right.
somebody, it's harder to disconnect.
It really is.
I will be honest, there are times when I zone you out. Mortal to Tam, 2024.
After a decade and a half, there have to be times that I zone you out. I hope
Yeah.
it's in return as well.
Yeah, like that's just part of being people, I
And
think.
we are super people shaped.
We are people. That's amazing. I haven't clapped for this article yet. I feel bad.
Well, I haven't either, but I haven't read it either. So I'll clap after I read it, probably.
Well, we can probably wrap up the episode.
Probably a good idea. Okay. Well, thank you, dear listener, and possibly dear viewer, question mark, for coming along with us on our delightful journey into season four of the Hidden Egg podcast. Damn it, Serge. We appreciate your time and attention, and we hope that you find smiles this day. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm eternally immortal, and I hope you find smiles this day.
And I'm the Accidental Monster. You can find us both on Medium.com and follow yourself always.